located by grace. We read in Matthew, this young guy, this man called Matthew, the tax collector. Did you hear his story? Matthew. Being located means that no matter how hidden, being located, to be located is no matter how hidden, no matter how forgotten or isolated a person feels, but God's grace specifically finds them. Hallelujah. To be located. So for me, it doesn't matter, hidden, forgotten, isolated, do we have anyone in that situation? Maybe yes. Someone who feels that, well, nobody thinks of me, nobody bothers, nobody cares. But how grace works, grace locates. Because that's what God does. That's his nature. That's his attribute. Especially for those who have been forgotten, those in the margins, those in the peripheries, those who are outcasts, those who feel ignored by society, by community, by families, by relatives. God, what does God do? Locates. God will, that's his nature. He will go out to look and to search for those ignored and uncared for. He searches, you know, like a magnet. Then, wow. Oh, what a bias. This is not this. No. This is the magnet. See, when you feel that nobody cares about you, that's the surprise. Oh, God has found me. At least God has found me. So at least God loves me. So God cares for me. So God sees. Because there are people who not even notice you, to be noticed. You know, to be noticed. You struggle, you suffer, you go, nobody notices, but God, at least God notices. Hallelujah. At least God notices. So when he notices, he says, I have seen what you are going through. I understand what you are going through. So Matthew, the tax collector, maybe the context here for me, for us to be clear, in Jesus' time, tax collectors, right, carried a heavy social stigma. Stigma, you know stigma? Yes. Because they were seen as collaborators with the Roman Empire. Because they worked for Rome. While they were Jewish. Do you understand that? They were Jewish, but they were employed by Rome. So everyone who saw them said, oh, these are traitors. You are a traitor. If you happen to be a tax collector, it means you are a traitor. You are working for the opposition. You are working for the oppressor. So all tax collectors were regarded as sinners. So this is Matthew's situation. Matthew's situation. So the issue wasn't just their job. It was what their job represented. They were seen as collaborators with Rome, men who had traded loyalty for profit and padded their purses by squeezing their own neighbors. To the community, they were not just disliked, they were morally contaminated, lumped together with sinners, and shut out of respectable religious life. These are tax collectors. And yet, these are the very people Jesus walks toward. He sits at their tables, calls one to be his disciple. So like now Matthew, according to this account, Matthew was just sitting in his tax booth. He knows that, what does he know? People don't like me. You know that? So when Matthew is walking in the high street, he clearly knows that people don't like me. What else would Matthew think about people or know? People don't like me. What else? Huh? They despise me. So for him, he lives in his own world. He will try to be good. He will try to be nice. He will try everything. But the stigma is, no, we know you, Matthew. You are a traitor. He will come to the synagogue. He will come to the temple. He will even give to charity. But still people will say, Matthew, we know you. You are a traitor. You are not a good person. Hallelujah. Are you with me, you people? We're talking of divine grace that can locate you. So it doesn't matter how Matthew was living his life, because he was despised, he was disliked, everything. But Jesus on this day said, come on, Matthew. I don't care what people say about you. I don't care what people think about you. I don't care how you have lived. That's Jesus, grace. I said, grace is an invitation that can happen, that can be given to any one of us, despite, regardless of what you have done. Wherever you come from, that's grace. Hallelujah. Grace. Divine. So when you are here, the surprise. I'm really surprised how, for me, my family, there's no one who has ever been a minister. For me, it's not anything for me to boast about, to brag about, to be proud. Oh, I'm a minister because I was very blah, blah. No. I say, but God, why did you choose me? You see, I struggle. I can't understand. For me, it's a mystery because that's God's doing. It's a mystery. Some of you have been raised in good jobs, good employment. You've got maybe, but you see, we brag about things. We don't have that space of humility to say, God, it was just divine favor. This is just God's doing. It's just favor. Hallelujah. This is how I understand the calling. So, friends, this calling for me, I'm saying it is divine location. On this day, Matthew isn't searching for Jesus. When he went to his office on this day, he never thought, oh, today I think I want to follow Jesus. Maybe today I want to give my life. He never imagined. But grace just located him. Grace just found him. That's Matthew. So he's simply sitting at his tax booth, a place that has trapped him. A place that has defined him and shamed him. Shame. That's Matthew. It represents choices he can't undo and labels he cannot escape. But the good thing is, yet grace knows exactly where to find him. Jesus doesn't wait for Matthew to change. He walks straight toward the booth. Before Matthew ever rises, grace locates him in the very place he is stuck. And Jesus speaks two life-altering words. Follow me. Life-changing words. Friends, as I'm winding up this conversation, is life-changing words. Like to Abraham, God says, Abraham, leave this place. I invite you to be with me. I'll walk with you into a new land, into a new area, into a new season. Abraham listened and obeyed. Follow me. Matthew, with all his calculators, with all his ledger books, with his whatever accounts, Jesus says, follow me. What does Matthew do? He rises and he follows. Life-changing words. So when God is calling, when grace finds you, when Jesus says, follow me, friends, how do we respond? Will we listen and obey? Will we listen and obey? So those words break the chains of Matthew's past and open a future he never imagined. Chains. So Matthew was stuck in this tax booth with all the stigma, all the labels. So he was kind of in bondage. But when Jesus just says two words, follow me, he breaks the chains. Amen. So for me, I see the breaking of chains. Whatever chains, harness you have been harnessing you in your life, emotional, spiritual, physical, whatever chains, I say, just listen and obey. Jesus breaks the chains. Yours is to respond, to listen and to obey, to rise and to follow him. I conclude by saying, so when he calls you, and you are willing to obey and to follow, he carries you. Hallelujah. Carried by mercy. So we are called by grace and we are carried. So when he calls you, then he carries you like a baby in his arms. He's walking. He walks everywhere with you. He carries you. There's this image of the, what is it called? This foot in the sand. Have you ever heard about that? Footsteps in the sand. Have you heard about that? Footsteps in the sand, yeah? What is the conversation there? This person says, oh, I was struggling. Oh, I was alone. What is the end of the conversation? I carry. Yes, when you were struggling, God carried you. So what more assurance do we need? Because when God calls, when God invites, God is assured to say, but you will not be alone. I will be carrying you. I will be carrying. So God carries us under the wings of mercy. We are carried under the wings of mercy. So ours, we're just like flying, we are floating under the care, under the wings of mercy. Friends, like we heard in the passage, mercy meets the Father in the passage in Matthew chapter 9. Mercy meets the Father with compassion, the woman who was struggling with dignity, and the child with life-giving touch. Mercy bends low. Mercy steps close and restores what others have given up on. Grace begins the journey, and mercy sustains it. To be located, friends, located by grace, it is reassurance. It is the idea that your current location, limitations, or past mistakes cannot hide you from the destiny and favor God has mapped out for your life. Like Abraham, we are called into new seasons. Like Matthew, we are reshaped by grace. Like the father and the woman, we bring our wounds and longings. And like the child, we sometimes need God to lift us up when we cannot lift ourselves. So let us respond to God's calling and trust that he carries us. Amen. I, the Lord of sea and sky, we join in our next hymn as we sing to the glory of God.